I want to clear something up just in case anybody was wondering about the comment I made a few minutes ago about being home with Mary Beth for 2 weeks and that being a difficult time. It had nothing to do with Mary Beth being difficult. It was that we were in quarantine, you know, because of the virus. And so that was the difficult part. Just to make sure everybody's good on that. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, today we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. And you know, it's become just a buzz phrase to just add to something that's not going to be good this year, the number 2020. Thanksgiving 2020, right? And all of us are talking about how we're so ready for this year to be over, right? And yet, I'm really wondering if 2021 is going to be all that much better, but we're really all hoping so, right? Yes. Can we all just say amen to that? Yes. But we are going to have Thanksgiving here in 2020. And 2020 has been a difficult time. It's been a time of, trouble. I'm going to call it trouble. You might want to call it even other words, but I'm just going to go with trouble. Like maybe disaster, but I'm going to say trouble. But we've had trouble, pandemic trouble, right? And so health. And then we've had racial trouble, right? And during 2020, it's been a difficult year. And then political trouble, right? Just everybody in the auditorium here is nodding with me. So are you at home, I'm sure. And economic trouble. We had trouble. It's just been tough. And so what we're going to talk about today, and yet this week, coming up Thursday, we're going to have this holiday called
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. And it's going to be different too, right? Of all the plans and different times and ways I've had experience with Thanksgiving, this one's going to be different. It's going to be different. And so the question is, you know, giving thanks in difficult times. But I want to thank, we're going to get to that in just a minute. I want to thank, first of all, though, Cindy and Jeremy for preaching the last two weeks when I was, you know, as has been mentioned before, in quarantine. And it was great to be able to watch and listen to both of them talk. And, I'm categorizing, I'm summarizing both of the sermons in these two phrases. One, reckless love. So appreciated Cindy the way that she contrasted these two views of God, right? The view of God that he is a, what would you call, sadist. He's a sadistic puppeteer. And we watched a video from Hunger Games and how God is just, some people's view of God is that he's just throwing trouble at us just to make us tough. And, some of us just not that tough, really. That's what I found out about myself. But then this other view of God, and from that Corey Asbury song, Reckless Love, which we sang already this morning, just this great view of the God who loves us so much that he'll do whatever it takes to take care of us, to save us, and to care for us. And so I'm really thankful for the way that Cindy did that. And then Jeremy, last week, just the idea, and especially this scripture from Philippians 4, which, you know, would have been the text for this week's sermon, but Jeremy took it last week, so. This idea that God, the idea, first of all, that it, to reflect on God's goodness, this was a great phrase that Jeremy gave me last week, until my emotions catch up to that reality. God is good. Sometimes I don't feel like it. Doesn't feel like he is. But I would just reflect on his goodness until my emotions catch up to that reality. And then he said for us, don't worry. The scriptures, don't worry. Don't be anxious. And it says present or reveal. This was good for me to understand. To reveal my desires, my deepest desires to God. And when I do that, the outcome can be peace. That I'll just keep praying and pray until the peace comes. That peace, we can have peace even in the midst of uncertain times. And this was great for these last 2 weeks. So right now we're going to talk about this again, idea of Thanksgiving 2020. Thanksgiving, giving thanks in difficult times. My dad was in the Army, and we lived a lot of different places. And my three sisters, my mom, we followed him all around the world. And in 1967, we found ourselves in Seoul, Korea. South Korea at that time was a third world country. They made enormous progress economically, but they were a third world country. And we lived in a neighborhood where I was in the eighth grade, my sisters were fifth, fourth, and second graders. We walked down a dirt road because neighborhoods didn't have paved roads. They were all dirt roads, neighborhoods. We walked down about a half mile down a dirt road to ride the bus to school every day. And as we walked that dirt road, we walked by some really tough living places where really poor people lived. In one place that Sally can describe really well, but she has good memories of it. She was the oldest of the three, fifth grader. I was in eighth grade. And we walked by this house, and it was literally made of cardboard. It was a cardboard house. And it came about waist high. And so all they did in this little hut was sleep. They had a little fire out front. And we walked by it every day to school. We'd see them through all the different seasons. Yesterday, it was 37 degrees in Seoul, Korea. So, you know, in the winter, it was cold there. And we got around Christmas time. Mom and Dad gave that family that lived there some blankets. And you know what? They were thankful. And it's incredible to me how some people in such desperate situations can be so thankful. And me, in a situation not nearly that desperate, can be so grumpy. You know? So I want to talk about this idea of being thankful even in difficult times. And some of the ideas, that some of the things I'm going to say today came from a sermon that Rick Warren, a preacher in Saddleback Church out on the West Coast, preached in a sermon in 2013. And one of the things that he made clear in the sermon was the idea from this verse in Thessalonians. It says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, one of the things he made, you know, people will always ask, oh, what's God's will for me? What does God want me to do? I'm at a point in my life, I'm asking God, what do I need to do? Well, one thing that's God's will for you is to give thanks in all circumstances. And wow, that's tough. But Rick Warren made a point to say, he doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. Because some of the circumstances we find ourselves in, God doesn't want us to give thanks for those. We're not going to give thanks for some of the terrible things going on in our world and in our life. And so he was in the situation in that year, 2013. He preached this sermon just before Thanksgiving. But he was in the situation where that earlier that year, his son, 27-year-old son, had committed suicide. And he says, you know, God's not saying we should give thanks for suicide. But that in the situation, in the circumstances, there are things that we can be thankful for. And so one of the things that always I think we can be thankful for, and this is one of the things also Rick Warren mentioned that day, was the amazing grace of God. Now, we've spent most of the fall talking about the amazing grace of God. And the grace of God is good. Amen? And it's like you can just talk about it all the time. We just keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. Because it is really great. We talked about how the grace of God includes that our sins are forgiven. That it includes the idea that we are new creatures, that he's adopted us into his family and we have a new identity. That's part of the amazing grace of God. That we are rescued from shame and from guilt. That's part of the amazing grace of God. But I want to do some things that I think would be good for us. And I did these, Mary Beth and I talked through this a little bit coming over. And I got all weepy at the time, but you know, I'm standing in front of you, maybe not. Maybe, though. You never know. So one of the things that one of my friends, Sean Palmer's a preacher in Houston, and he had a quote. This was one of the things he said recently in a sermon. To disempower the lies we believe, people cannot simply decide not to believe them. We have to determine not to feed them. Don't feed those lies. And then he says, we don't believe what is real, we believe what is repeated. Get that? We don't believe what's real, we believe what is repeated. And one of the things that I believe that helps us repeat good stuff are songs. And so all through this grace sermon period, we've been singing grace songs. And great grace songs. And it's been really good. So I just want to read some of these lyrics that we've been reading, that we've been singing, and I think planting in our heart, right? So these are things that we can thank God for. Even during a pandemic, we can thank God for this. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you should take my place, that you should bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. And at that, I sort of think that Steve and Mike and Joe, they ought to be tuning up their guitars and right now. Or, my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy rains, unending God, unending love, amazing grace. And as we sing these things, we recognize the truth of these lyrics, right? Or this one. Great is your faithfulness, O God of Jacob. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy when nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, O God, for your grace is enough. Yeah, your grace is enough for me. Or that great song that we sang today. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You've been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You've been so, so kind to me. Over the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down. It fights till I'm found. Leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down. Lie you won't tear down coming after me. That's good news, isn't it? And the lyrics of these songs, these are things that even in difficult times, we can thank God. We can be thankful for his amazing, amazing grace. So that's one thing. But there's another thing. We can give thanks for the changes that God is making in me. You know, God is changing us. Now, I know you, being human, like me being human, I've made some bad choices in my life. Some of my bad choices turned into bad habits. Don't know if that's ever been with you, but some of my bad choices eventually turned into bad habits. But God is rescuing me from my bad habits, and he's changing me. His Holy Spirit at work in me, the Word, his Word, as I read it and as I put it into practice, is changing me. It's changing me. couple of weeks ago, we read this quote from John Newton, the author of the song Amazing Grace. He says, "I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. And I'm not what I hope to be. But still, I'm not what I used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am." God's changing us. And He's changing us to become just like His Son, Jesus. And so I'm thanking God for that. Even in difficult times, I can thank God for His amazing grace. I can thank God that He's in the process of changing me. I was telling Mary Beth a story, and I love hanging out with Mary Beth because she listens to my stories, and sometimes I've told them before, but she acts like, you know, still okay. So back in the 70s, I started working with a camp at ACU called Camp Wildcat. I was in my early 20s, and I worked with this camp about 6 or 8 years. It was a sports camp for elementary school kids. And one of the things I would do in the evening, right before they went back to the dorm to sleep, I would gather them around and with their counselors, and I would have some kind of devo, and I would sing this song to them. At first, it was to them, and then as they learned it, it was with them. But we'd be sitting on the gym floor, just imagine, and I'd be standing in the middle of them. They're sitting around me. This is like 40 or 50 elementary school kids, sometimes maybe even up to 80 of them. And I sang this song called, and I don't know the name of it for sure, but I called it Little by Little. And I'm going to sing it, and so here you go. Ready? Sometimes they tell me my mic's off, you know, when I'm singing, so. But it's on. It goes like, little by little, every day, little by little in every way, Jesus is changing me, He's changing me. Now, imagine the kids around me. And then as it gets to be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they're singing it. Since I made a turnabout face, I've been growing in His grace. Jesus is changing me. He's changing me. My precious Jesus, I'm not the same person that I used to be. Sometimes it's slow going, but there's a knowing that someday perfect I will be. Okay. So, you know, then by the end of the week, they're all singing. Well, later in my time at ACU, I was working with another camp, Kadesh, and Kadesh was for high school students. And volunteers would come, and they'd be small group leaders in that camp. And this was in the 2000s, early 2000s. So like 30 years later. And so at this, one of the volunteers, and she's in her 40s, early 40s, late 30s, and she came up to me one night after all the activities, and she said, you don't remember me, do you, from Camp Wildcat? And I said, no. She said, but I remember you would sing that song to us. Yeah, and she began to sing it. God's changing us. And He's changing us into the image of His Son, Jesus. That's His goal for us, and He's on it, even in difficult times. And so I thank God that it's not just me working on me, you know. Me working on me helps, but it's God along with me. We're together. This is the way Paul said this in Romans. He said, we glory in our sufferings, or I'm going to say in our difficult days, or in, let's say, 2020. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. I really believe that sometimes bad experiences can leave a person bitter, or sometimes it can make them stronger. So it's like bitter or better. It's kind of up to you. Here's the difference. Give thanks to God, even in the difficult times, knowing that He has an outcome in mind for you. And He wants you to be just like His Son, Jesus. So It's either give thanks or whine, you know? And if you give thanks, God's doing something inside you. He's changing you. Another thing that we can do is we can give thanks for the home that God's preparing for me. And he's preparing for you. By the way, he's not just preparing a home for us. He's also preparing a new body for us, you know. And I can't wait for that new body. Because mine, I'm in that point of life where, like Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says our bodies are wasting away. That's how I feel about this thing right here in front of you. It is kind of wasting away. And, you know, I can remember when it started with just a bald spot, but now it's all the way. But it's all other parts of my body are too. And one of the things that I found out just in the last few weeks, I don't bounce back as quickly as I used to from different kinds of problems, physical problems, because my body, it's wasting away. But God says he's preparing a new body for me, but he's also preparing a new place for me to be. And so in John 14, it says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, would I have told you that I'm going to go prepare a place for you? So Jesus is getting ready to leave his disciples, and he says he's going to go prepare a place for you. And that's good news, amen? And so I want to be thanking God, even in difficult times, I want to thank God that he's getting a place ready for me to go. And then it says in the next verse, it says this, that if I go prepare a place, Jesus is saying, I'll come back and I'll take you with me that you can also be where I am. And this place, he describes it, it's going to be great. You know, some of the times when I describe people, I say, you know, I'm inviting them to come to church here, and I'll describe our meeting place with them. And it's fun to describe it. And I say, warehouse? They say, yeah, warehouse is not maybe the fanciest church building you've ever been in. The place that God is preparing for us is going to be better than this. I just want you to know. It's going to be better than this. But not just because it's going to be fancy, but think about it. The way he describes it, there's no more sickness. How many could go for that right now? No more sickness. There's no more cancer. There's no more COVID. There's no more chronic pain. There's no more mental illness. Is that a good place? Can I give thanks for that even now? Because he's preparing that place. There's no disappointment. There's no depression. There's no loneliness. You know the questions that you and I were asking a minute ago, Danny? We're going to know, even if it doesn't matter. You know, it's going to be great. God's preparing that place. And I'm thanking him today, Thanksgiving 2020, I'm thanking him today for what he's doing for me ahead of time. One thing there's not going to be in heaven, there's going to be no hope in heaven. You know why? You don't need hope. We're already there. It's happening. It's happening. One of the things that happened in 2015, Mary Beth's office was across the hall from mine and down a few doors. This is kind of when we were in that pre-dating stage. But I had met her family, and I'd gone up to Edmond, Oklahoma, where most of them live, and they'd all gathered. I'd met all her family, her brother, her sister, her in-laws. I'd met her nieces and nephews. And in 2015, she got a phone call. I walked by, and she was not just crying, but she was destroyed because her 20-something-year-old nephew had committed suicide. And during those difficult times, her brother, it was her brother's son, her brother got a call from Rick Warren, who 2 years earlier had lost his son. And Rick called John, her brother, to comfort him and tell him that it's terrible now, but you'll get through it. And one of the things he said was, Rick's son was named Matthew. He said, you know, the moment that Matthew passed away, he was in the presence of God. That God had gone and prepared a place for Matthew. And he prepared that place so that Matthew could be with Jesus in that place. And as Rick tells it, he said, I think my son would say something like this to me, Dad, you are so wrong about heaven. It's way better than you thought. It's way better than you thought. I'm thankful for that. Thanksgiving 2020, it's not going to be like the rest, but I'm thankful in that moment, in those days, in these days. And also, finally, the last thing is that I want to give thanks for our family, the family of God. Now, God's family is universal, but it's also pretty local. And I'm thinking especially about the local family right here in this building, CCC. I am thankful for my family. I'm thankful for this family. Last weekend, my niece was having a baby shower. I had to think of what that thing is, you know. And Mary Beth went to the baby shower. And as she was at the baby shower, she met for the first time Jordan Gill. Well, some of y'all in here know Jordan Gill, right? You know Jordan Gill. Mary Beth had never met Jordan. She had met Jordan's mom, Lori. And so they had this conversation. Mary Beth came home and told it to me. And I said, man, I am so thankful for the Gill family. And this is what I do. And I do this in often with you guys who are sitting here and some of you who are listening online. You guys. And is I pray through the church directory. So if you're in the church directory, you get prayed for on the regular. If you're not in the church directory, maybe you ought to consider getting in the church directory. But I do it this way. And this happened last Saturday when she said I met Lori Gill. I prayed this, I call it a Thanksgiving chain. So right off the bat, I'm thanking God. Thank you, God. I know Lori Gill, but also I know Aaron Gill. This is the chain. Aaron's been one of the most inspiring guys I've ever met. Losing his leg, still playing ball, being a coach now. I mean, just he's inspiring to me. But then also, that chain leads me to Lori Gill. And so I'm praying for Lori. I'm thanking God. I'm so thankful to God that I met Jordan and Aaron and Lori. And through Lori, I met Rhett Jackson, Lori's brother. And Rhett gave me this book about Job and then Rhett's past. So Rhett's also up there saying, hey, Bob, it's better than you thought. I'm thankful for our family. I'm thankful for the family of God. And I want to read this to you as we close and we're getting ready to sing this great song, How Great is Our God, and you'll lead right into that song as I finish this scripture reading. It says, Paul says, for this reason, and the reason he's talking about is that Gentiles are now in the kingdom of God. That's what he's saying. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. Get that? All the families on heaven, in heaven and on earth, get their name, get the concept of family from God. Because we call Him Father. Therefore, out of that, we get this idea of family. And so, man, I'm excited about the family here. Looking around, we all look a little bit different, but you know what? I love this family. As a matter of fact, if you're here in the building right now, I want you to just turn around like in the greeting. Look around and say, look at your brothers and sisters. Just do it now. There you go, Laney. Yeah, look at them all. Got some little ones there. Vicky's in the back waving. But he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he, that's God, may strengthen you, that's all you guys, with power through his spirit, through your inner being. So God, Paul's praying that we get this power, okay, inside us. What for? so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love, our family, woo, the roots of our family is love. You get that? And he says, that you may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. I am thankful in 2020 for the family of God that I belong to. That I am a son, that I am a brother in this great family of God that's rooted and established in love. And so it's a weird year, baby. I'm telling you, it is crazy. And it ain't good. We got a lot of trouble. But I can thank God. Wherever I find myself Thursday, I'm going to thank God for this family. And we may not be eating turkey and dressing together. Well, I'm sure I'm not going to be eating turkey and dressing with any of you. But I'm thanking God for my family of God. And this is how it ends. And then we're going to sing this great song. It says, here's how this verse is in. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. 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 Let's sing.